you know, just for me, you know what I mean? And you know, just totally living a life in service of something much larger than all of us, and knowing that I'm laying down my life every single day for that.
So what is that? Like, the thing larger than life?
It's God.
But God, like, God is in, like,
the it's for God. It's for the total restoration, like for the total restoration of the entire universe, for the restoration of all things, to bring everything back into a balance where chaos no longer has control, where, you know, peace, love, and order.
So not a God with any, like, you know, he's not writing stuff on stone tablets from the sky and weird stuff like that. God, the creative principle with no name, no, you know what I mean? Like, pure love or...
Pure love. A creator. You know.
No. What do you want? What do you want? Okay, listeners, just listen for a while, okay? Because I can't answer the phone and talk to these fine people at the same time. So it's not like, it's not God with, like, rules and purpose and whatever. It's God, just the all-loving principle. Like, it's not a God with, like... You must do this, you must do that.
Well, there's certain things we must live up to.
So, but who says what these things are? God? Like, does God, like, hi, how you doing, humans? You better brush your teeth tonight. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, where does that love, I don't think, has, like...
God is love.
God is love.
And so love requires a certain response to the human beings, and that's the only rule we have, is love.
So no, with no, like, so how does that love, how do you translate that love?
I'm not sure, like, what you mean, but by loving, but like, each other, like, how do you,
no,
translate,
no, but
that
I mean, like,
mean?
Love is something we feel in each other, but it's not bound by any one being or religion or code or, right? Like, I think, I'm just
love
asking.
Puts others in front of self.
Mm-hmm.
The needs of others and the good of others.
So we have love, God, love, but then we have Yahshua. No, how do you say it? Come on,
Yahshua.
Yahshua. And now, how does he fit into this whole picture?
Yahshua is the one who. Who came and took it upon himself to love people. Like, he was just the greatest example. He was a great man. He is a great man. And we try, sometimes fail, often fail, but we try to be like him and use him as an example and love each other like he loved people. And that's the only way that we'll ever survive, is if we really try and love each other. And he's just a great example.
Okay.
Yeah, Yeshua is a pure seed of a man, you know, and the only man in all these times that could be so pure to allow the will of God to flow freely through him in the age that, you know, he was doing the work that he was doing on the earth. He was the one man that entirely sacrificed every cell of his being to our Father's will, God. And for any of you out there who may not know what we're talking about here, Yahshua is what is our, is the Hebrew name for what you may call Jesus Christ.
Okay, you know what, you guys, I gotta switch directions here, but this is the thing. I want to open up and ask some hard questions, but I don't feel like you guys should bear the like, I don't feel like I want to ask you those hard questions. Like,
yeah, if there's any questions you ask us, I mean, we've only been in the community. Like, we're still babies.
No, that's what I mean. I don't think I can, like, do my journalistic best on my good friends here who are just fresh can be. You know what I mean? Like, I can't ask you about long time ago or how things started.
Yeah.
Or, you know, all that stuff. I think I even saw a picture of you on one of the websites, you know? Like an old one of a young, like, but anyway.
You can do your journalistic best.
Well, I mean, I just have to.
Our elder.
Well, that's what I mean. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, I'll try and answer the questions. I'm young too, so.
So, but do you guys even want to be in here when I'm asking this?
Yes. Sure.
Now, would you guys be into if I invited someone else into the studio? Is that okay?
Who would you like to invite?
I'd like to invite Daryl, who's outside.
Yeah, sure, you can invite
Daryl.
We know Daryl very well, actually.
Okay, good. Well, there we go.
We need another mic, I think.
Come on in. You're the next contestant on.
You share a mic, huh?
Can you? This is one of the first radio shows ever that I haven't broken up the talk with music or some jokey kind of thing, because it's good. Now the air conditioning came on a bit and relaxed. I can, we just got to make sure we don't put it on the table, because if it spilled, I'd be killed. Killed. So in the studio, someone has joined us. Daryl has joined in the circle here. So the first caller, I'm going to go into the hard questions, because the first caller who called was like, I want to know what 12 Tribes thinks about homosexuals. That was the first question. And I mean, I'm like, hi, how you doing? I want to know. So it was a quickie. So what is the 12 Tribes vision regarding homosexuality or like multiple partners or any of that kind of thing?
Well, we believe that sexual relationships outside of a covenant relationship between one man and one woman are immoral sexual relationships, and they're destructive to the human soul.
Now, where does that?
So like, we don't single out one version from another. You know, it's all destructive, and there's much that we don't know, and much that we don't even want to know about what's going on out there, because there's a lot of awful things going on in people's lives. So.
Now, where does that come from, that belief? Like, is that belief from God the love, or Jesus the transmitter of that love, or from even lower than that, transmissions of Jesus to other people to, you know what I mean? Like, where in that hierarchy does that teaching come from?
Well, I can speak for myself. It comes from my own personal experience. I wasn't born and raised in the community. I came in the community when I was 31 years old, and I'd had many different kinds of relationships outside of the community. And my experience was they were destructive relationships, both for me and the partners that I had.
Yeah.
And since I've come into the community, I've found peace in that area of my life.
But the 12 tribes themselves have a... Your belief is
we all share the same conviction.
The same conviction. Yeah, okay, that's what I was wondering.
But it's based on reality. It's not based on just taking something we read in a Bible somewhere and saying, "Well, this must be the truth." You know, none of us that are the founding members of the 12 tribes communities were born into a religious system. We came out of religious systems. Some that believed in monogamous relationships.
Yeah,
but that didn't work, and others that didn't believe in them, that didn't work.
Because on the website, they do quote the Bible about that.
We believe the Bible is the Word of God, but the Bible is also the most misunderstood manuscript on the earth.
Okay, so Daryl, you had said that you had an interest in being involved in this discussion, but I didn't. I wanted to separate talking to my good friends and then talking, like asking hard questions and trying to figure out, you know what I mean? Like, there's two different ways of looking at how this show is going to go down. Daryl said he had experiences there that he wanted to be part of the discussion. like that you knew something and that you wanted to share it, so I invited you into the studio. Is that right, or can you, do you want to?
Well, I've you know, spent time, and I've been friends with the people of the 12 tribes in this area since they've got here, and spent time with them out on their farm for a couple of weeks, and I think that hard questions are important. Mm-hmm. I think when one's about to give up their life to something, the deepest questions should be asked. The deepest questions should be answered. And if those questions are answered to the satisfaction of that individual, then that individual will make the choice that's appropriate to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that the discussion so far as I've heard it is a little on the surface.
Yeah, yeah.
Because really, you know, harder questions are going to be about really the mythology, the real belief system that's going
yes.
on. Where does that come from, and what does it really mean?
That's the division. That's why I kind of want to do 1 hour of, you know, just talking with good friends, and then we can talk. We can, like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, for myself, I think that there's fundamental problems going on in the ideology. But I wouldn't want to suggest to anyone that they should or shouldn't join that community, because I think for certain individuals it's probably a very good thing. It's it does provide community, home, friendship, a place to belong, work that you can do that's constructive and healthy, friendships and things that are really important to the well-being of an individual. You know, and for people who have not found a place of connection to, let's call it a transpersonal dimension of being, deity, you know, the divine, if they haven't found that and find it within that context, then I think that's a healthy thing for those people. So I'm the last to say that's just the wrong place or the wrong thing. You know,
that's what this show, I do not want it to be that one way or the other. I just want to ask questions because I don't know myself. Like, I'm approaching it as just a fresh being, you know, seeing what I see in town or seeing what I read on websites, which is the least that's the last place I want to find out any information. You know, I'd much prefer to talk
difficult.
To you.
That's why we have the cafe and why we have an open invitation for people to come and visit us at the farm, because words can be so emotionally charged. And you can read a word, and because of how you were raised thinking about that word, you can get an impression that can completely distort what the intent and the spirit of that word is. And so, you know, we can only pass on true understanding if somebody really wants to know, first of all, and then if they're willing to make the effort to come and see.
Okay, now this is, I want to start off with my first question, because this is the thing that really, out of all that I read from your guys' website, and from what I read elsewhere, whatever, there's a bunch of websites out there, but from your own website, is the apocalyptic end of the world scenario. That's the most troubling to me, because your community, it is nonviolent, right? Like, you guys don't train with guns and you don't espouse, like...
We are nonviolent.
We're not nonviolent, but, like, from the website, it says, this is the part where I can, his followers to fight the war that brings this age to an end. The armies of the man of lawlessness will gather on the plains of Megiddo to destroy the Messiah, Yahshua, and his holy ones. But he will be victorious and will cleanse the earth of all evil. The evil one himself will be bound, and Yahshua will take his throne in Jerusalem to rule the earth with his holy ones for 1,000 years of peace and restoration. Maybe I should read out the whole thing, but it has the idea that the 12 tribes will join in Yahshua's army to destroy the evil ones in the final battle on earth, and that after all the killing's done, they will be left over to be the head of the new Jerusalem, the new time on earth that will be under control of the Holy Ones, and the Holy Ones will only come from the 12 tribes or those who worship Yahshua, or, you know what I mean? Like, there's even, they break it down into three things. There's the holy, there's the righteous, and then there's the unjust and just downright filthy. Yeah. Now, the holy are going to be the ones in control. The righteous, they're good, but not quite at the top. And then the unjust and filthy, they're out. Yeah. Like, they're going to be killed in the great battle at the end of time, right? Like, so is 12 tribes gathering sold? Like, are you guys, like, are they joining an army that's going to fight all these evil ones? Like, why put that on the website if that's your intention? Like,
okay, well, I need to explain something first, because, you know, what you said about the holy being at the top and then the righteous not being quite as good and then the others kind of down in the bottom. That's actually the exact opposite, paradigm that you have to understand to know what we're saying. What Yahshua taught as the basis of all spiritual government is that if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, or we would say the next age, you have to be everyone's servant. So what makes someone part of the holy is not that they're above, but that they're below. They're the greatest servants, the ones who serve. And they completely lay aside their own personal desires to serve others.
Like the holy ones. Or the righteous.
That's what it means to be holy. It means to be set apart to serve human beings in love.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not some elite ruling class that's going to lord it over everybody in the next age, and they're going to pick and choose who's going to come in and who isn't. So you have to understand that, first of all, that that's the basis of this new government that is going to replace the one on the earth right now when it crumbles. The righteous are made up of every different religion and also non-religion of the earth, and they are people who live by the instinctive knowledge of right and wrong from their own consciences, regardless of their religious beliefs.
Or sexual preferences?
Well, they live by their conscience. Your conscience dictates what's appropriate in the realm of sexuality, in business, in environmental issues.
The righteous could be homosexual.
I don't believe that's the case, but I don't believe there's any sexual immorality that will be counted as righteousness. Now, that's not to say that somebody doesn't make a mistake or have a weakness, but it's people who practice and consistently use others for their own selfish gain that are considered unrighteous and unworthy to live in eternity. People who destroy other people's lives and devour other people's lives for their own selfish pleasure.
Okay, now what about like a shaman, like somebody who's in the jungle and they're using like sacred herbs?
There can be righteous shamans and there can be unrighteous shamans. There can be righteous Christians, there can be unrighteous Christians.
But only to a certain, like,
it's according to their own conscience. If they are listening to their conscience and doing the best they know how according to their own understanding of right and wrong from their conscience, then they're righteous. If they're ignoring what they know to be true and doing the opposite, knowing that they're not doing what's right, then they're unrighteous.
Okay,
it's according to what you understand.
Okay, so then, but what about this battle on the plains of Megiddo?
I think is how that's how we say it, anyways.
But like,
We don't know how that's actually going to happen. You know, we know that we don't believe in weapons or violence, and so it's the conclusion that we come to is that it's going to be a spiritual battle. And if we look at some of the historical accounts of the battles that Israel of the ancient times went into, when they went into battle against other peoples who were given over to all kinds of evil.
Cana? No.
Well, you could take it. I don't know if you know the Old Testament very well, but Gideon went into battle, and before he got there, the people they were going into battle against killed each other because they were so evil. They hated each other. They didn't just hate Gideon and Israel. They hated each other. Mm-hmm. And so the fear that was working in them caused them to destroy each other. And our sense is this is probably what's going to happen at the end of the age. When the New World Order reaches its climax, it's going to be made up of people who are totally given over to self. And that society is going to destroy itself.
But it doesn't say that, though. It says during their they will flee to the wilderness, while they will endure to the last years of the age. So the righteous ones will flee to a wilderness. They're
going to leave society because there'll be no room to live according to your conscience or according to what's right.
I'll be there
in the society that that is being raised up on the earth right now, and you know a lot of people see it.
The wilderness.
Like, oh, good.
During this time, their purification will be completed. While in the world from which they fled, the degradation of men will reach similar. This will be the moment when Yahshua, the Son of God, descends from heaven and gathers his followers to fight the war that brings this age to the end. Yeah. The armies of the man of lawlessness, which I don't think there's a spiritual army of the man of lawlessness, just because I don't think they can, you know, I think it's a physical thing.
It will be manifested in a physical army at the end of the age, yes.
So the 12 tribes is an army, kind of like you are recruiting people to be in that army.
Well, it's a spiritual battle, and, you know, we're actually already in spiritual war because the things that we're battling are in our own souls right now.
Mm-hmm.
The evil and the selfishness and the greed and the perversions and all those things, they're inside of us. And the more we deal with those things and have them, remove them from our own souls, that it affects people around us. People that want to be purged and purified of their own dark ways are gonna see the evidence that it's possible and are gonna come. And people who love darkness and love evil are gonna be repelled by it. They're gonna hate it and they're gonna want to go the opposite direction. So we're not making recruits in that sense. All we're doing is living our life, and those that are drawn by it come, and if they have the same faith and conviction, we welcome them in. But we don't want to make recruits, because anything you have to convince somebody of, like if we had to convince people to move into the community, we would have to convince them to stay there, and it wouldn't last.
So only
it has to come from their own conviction.
So then that differs too. Then the soldiers will be only the ones from the 12 tribes, not the righteous. Like they will, the ones from the 12 tribes will be the holy ones, right?
I don't really know anything, but maybe what the soldiers will be of the 12 tribes, maybe they're going to be, their battle will be with words. They're going to be speaking their truth. And maybe the other side is going to be a physical, like pushing down of the people that are speaking their truth. But
it's more succinct than that. Like the thing is that when you go to see, like, the word, right? Like, even on your website, it's very clear the word is very important. What you say, you have to stand by. So when I read this, I'm like, gee willikers, I don't want my friends to join some army, you know? Like, it kind of scared me a bit. Because
We probably need to expound on that more so that people don't get that impression, because just, you know, for everybody who's listening, we are not recruiting an army. We do not believe in violence and weapons, and we're not going to be killing people.
But in the end times, maybe that will happen.
They'll kill us, and we won't be hurt. We won't be physically defending ourselves. Okay. We'll be speaking to people.
I think you got to be more clear than on your website about that, because
we're learning.
When it says that, when it says we're going to kill people and get rid of them, it's kind of like, whoa. It does seem to...
Well, I don't want to negate what we're saying, because there is going to be a war, and there's going to be a cleansing of the earth, of every human being who's given themselves over to evil. They're going to be destroyed. But
physically and spiritually?
Well, yeah, you can't really separate the two. The spiritual and the physical are intertwined.
Okay. Yeah, that part really confused me, because I was like, dang, because it said all nonviolence except right till the end times, when it seems like there's just a... you know, physical and spiritual free for all.
Well, there's going to be a polarization of the earth by the end of the age. You know, like there, you know, common sense will tell you that in order for peace to come on the earth, there's going to be some things that have to end.
Mm-hmm.
And this, you know, there's many people that don't like to admit it, but there is evil on the earth, and there are human beings who are totally sold out to evil.
Oh yeah, I believe that. But at the same time,
loving God that wants to preserve what's good in human beings is going to sooner or later have to deal with that. So,
but at the same time,
but it's not for us to decide. It's, you know, it's.
But that's the thing, right? Like, those views and perceptions of who is evil and who is not evil are very malleable through time. Like, we thought witches were evil at one time. We thought people who did like shamans who used sacred plants to heal people, they were evil, or like possessed by demons. Yeah. So yeah. When do you draw between?
Who was it that was burning the witches, and who was it, you know, like the first drug law ever brought to America by the Spanish conquistadors to the, you know, to the Aztec people using peyote? It wasn't the 12 tribes.
No, it was
These were the Christians, you know. And
I'm just saying people.
I know, but so what is evil and what is good? It's you know what it is. It's in your conscience. Every single one of you out there listening right now knows what it is. Every human being is born with a conscience. You know what's right and what's wrong. You don't go kill people.
Yeah.
You know that. And if you go and kill someone, it's against your conscience. You know it's wrong. Right? This is what is good and evil. We know. Yeah. We know, and sometimes we cover it up. We try and reason through things and do evil things, but we know, and our conscience tells us that it's wrong or that it's sinful. We know what's right and wrong.
You know until you silence your conscience, because right. People can silence their consciences by ignoring them often enough. Mm. That's really where, you know, a person becomes evil, where they've shut down their own internal mechanism of what's right and wrong, and then they can justify doing anything. And you pick up any newspaper and you can read about it all day long.
It's like a shaman down in the basin, you know, an ayahuasca curandero, you know, is drinking ayahuasca and associating with the spirits that he or she associates with to heal people. That person, all they know is that they are calling upon the powers that they work with to heal people. They're not, yeah. And for what they know to be good,
yeah,
they are sure. Righteous people, and they are not sinning for doing what they're doing. They're healing people, and that's what they're called to do, you know? So, you know, they're, because what they have in their heads, what they know, what they feel to heal people, they are healing their communities, they're healing their tribes, you know?
Yeah,
they are the lowest of the low of their people. They stand under, you know, they let the whole community stand on their shoulders, you know? If we don't sit here and say that, you know, they sin, that they're sinners, that they're evil people. They're not evil people. But then there's also people down in the basin that they consider themselves warlocks.
Yeah.
You know, they talk about it. These people who, you know, take the Datura plants and whatnot, and they use these realms for their own personal needs, you know, for their own personal power to harm people, put sicknesses on people, become powerful. These are evil people, right? So, you know, and they know it, you know, they call themselves witches and warlocks and stuff down, you know, these people down there. So it's just two different sides, and people know what they're dealing with. Everyone out there know, you all know what they're dealing with. Every single person on the face of this earth know what you're dealing with at one point or another.
Okay, so you know in your heart when something is good and when something is evil, right?
At one point, it depends on how much you've decided to cover up and reason to yourself to try. Sometimes people totally blind themselves to that so that they can feel better about doing something evil.
Yeah, that's what I'm most worried about, actually, is the idea that people can get swept away with believing. I'm not saying this about 12 tribes. I'm saying this is a general social paradigm where people get swept away with believing they're doing the good and they're actually doing the evil, and it's not realized till after. But this is one thing I'm wondering about, is this play of good and evil, heart chakra judgment, you know what's right and wrong. How do the laws of men fit into that paradigm? Like, do you guys obey all the laws that are like in, you know, the criminal code and the books that this culture deems to be the law of the land?
We obey all laws unless those laws require us to do something against our conscience. And so So we live in a relatively preserved society, you know, like they, we're free to say what we believe, we're free to live according to how we want to live, teach our children. You know, we're not forced to go to war here. If a law came into this country and said you have to go to war and kill people, we couldn't obey that law because it's against our spiritual beliefs and against our conscience to do that. So we would be conscientious objectors. But, you know, if I get a parking ticket, I'm going to pay the parking ticket, even though I may not think that it's appropriate or fair. I'm going to pay it because it's not a matter of conscience. You know, these are the civic authorities. They have jurisdiction. And it's not an issue of conscience. And, you know, those authorities will have to give an account for the laws they make and what they enforce and what they don't enforce. It's not for me to worry about that.
Yeah, see, because I like on that whole heart judgment thing, I know cannabis is a sacred plant and that hemp, you know what I mean, should be grown on every farm in the country. It's got the food, the fuel, the goodness, you know, like God intended us to be at one with that plant. But the laws of men have said that it's not, it's illegal to have that plant. So,
well, there's a lot of politics in that issue. And
no, but how about this?
It's not worth going to jail over it. No. I don't think, personally.
Mm-hmm. But Yahshua thought it was when he went into the temples and he swept all the merchants' scales with gold on them. He went and swept. He lifted the tables.
That was the temple, though. He didn't go into the public market and do that. He went into the temple where it was supposed to be a place of worship and spirituality, and they had turned it into a business.
But he broke the law of the land at that time. You know what I mean? Like, civil disobedience?
He didn't break the law of the land, actually.
Yeah, you can't throw people's stuff around and throw stuff and yell and flip tables over and freak out. Right? Like, if that was the law, if you know what I mean? Like, where does the line between Jesus thought it was... it was against the law what he did to go in and sweep people's stuff
up. He was in a holy place. Now what was going on?
Violating the laws of men.
Well, it was against his conscience. You know, he was against his conscience.
But
they had taken a place that was supposed to be a place where sincere people could come and could find God, and it had been turned into a business.
Yeah.
And so he went in there and he made a scene.
So when
he didn't go and steal people's money there. He didn't go and kill people. But he made a point and said, hey, this is not clean. This shouldn't be going on here.
But his conscience moved him to do something
it wasn't against the law. That's the point.
It was against the law what he did.
They would have locked him up, and they didn't.
They would have locked him up.
Yeah, they were looking for a reason to lock him up, and they couldn't find one. And finally, when they crucified him, they had to have all kinds of false witnesses come and say things that weren't true in order to get a judgment against him that the authorities didn't even want to make. So they didn't have anything on him because he did not break one single law in the whole time he walked on the earth.
Well, see, I'm just saying, like, when does your conscience come and sweep away the laws of men and the cultural mores?
The conscience operates at the highest standard of love that it knows.
I don't know, like, gee whiz, like... I don't know. I don't want to dwell on this point, but like, Jesus healed all kinds of folks, right? But like, what happens if like a homosexual came to the 12 tribes and wanted to hang out and have dinner?
There are people who were previously homosexual and various kinds of immorality that have been healed of having that such a big obsession in their life.
No, but I mean, if someone just came to the, like, say a couple, like a same-sex couple came to the farm, were like, we just want to check it out. Would you guys invite them to your table? Or,
well, yeah, we've had all kinds of people, you know, like, how do you think we got to be part of the community? We came from that.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, like,
we were the sexually immoral, and we were the thieves, and we were the homosexuals, and we were the unjust businessmen, and that's who we are. That's where we come from. So we had to get invited to the table to get here, right?
So you would invite those folks.
If they're sincerely interested in finding out about the hope we have, if they're coming to just grind an axe, then we don't want to get into an argument.
If somebody loves
what they're doing, then carry on. You know, like, you've got to be led by your own convictions and your own conscience. We don't go into gay bars and try to convert people.
Yeah.
And so somebody who's convinced and sold out on that, I don't see the point of coming to our farm and trying to convince us of something that we don't believe in.
So
like it's not love. Love wouldn't lead you to do that.
You know, what was the other thing I was thinking about? Oh yeah, like, do you guys do like any outreach in the community, like the food bank or the like soup kitchen or any of those kinds of things?
The main outreach we do is we operate our cafe, and we make a place available for people who want to know about our life, and then those that are looking for what we have, then that's a point of contact, and they can. You know, it's a public place, so it's a little bit easier for people than coming out to the farm or, you know, coming into our home. You know, most people are a little reserved in that way. You know, some people will just come right out to the farm, but we make that a place where people can interact with us and find out if they want to get to know more.
Yeah, because I'm just like, if you... You don't want the evil and the unclean to perish at the end times. You want to try and affect good in the world. Wouldn't the best way of doing that be doing things like that in the community, like soup kitchen or like something that's non-commercial?
What we've found is the opposite to be true. Usually the reason soup kitchens are operated is because people don't want to take outcasts into their home because it costs too much to get involved socially, and so you can give someone some food and keep them alive, but really what they need is they need friends and family and healing, and so we don't want to do that because all it does is keeps people at arm's length. We want to invite people right in if they're really looking for a new life and they're sick of their old life. We want to just bring them right on in
into
we don't want to run a halfway house, you know, and just say, well, you know, here, we'll keep you going in your messed up life and give you some food so you don't starve to death, but we don't want to get involved in your problems you have with your spouse or your child issues or your bankruptcies or whatever, you know. So
yeah,
so we don't see that's profitable or beneficial, and it's, you know, it's fine that people want to do that, and if that's all that you have conviction to do, then so be it. But you know, our conviction is deeper than that.
Okay.
When I came and stayed at the community, nobody asked me if I was going to join. I just stayed. I just came and hung out. I didn't even really get into it at first. I was just hanging out. You know, I went to I bumped into somebody on the street and said, oh yeah, I'm going to come this Friday. They took me back to the hostel and they gave me a few loaves of bread and hung out with me and gave me some tea. They didn't ask me, are you interested in joining my life? Because if you are, then I'll give you some bread. They were just like, hey, let's talk. Let's hang out. Hey, come over to the farm. You know, I came multiple times over a period of probably a month. I came, you know, every weekend or so, and I ate their food, and you know, I used their soap, and nobody asked me for anything.
Yeah, but you were genuinely interested in that. Like, what you're saying is that
people,
unless you
have
an interest, it's not really like it's not a place where people could come to heal or be like.
Well, on the contrary, it is. It's true healing.
Well,
healed people can only live in a healed society. The premise of healing somebody and putting them back in a sick world is just like what the doctors are doing. You know, you put a Band-Aid on it and send them back to the thing that gave them cancer in the first place. It doesn't work.
Yeah. You're going to go? Do you have anything you want to say? Like, on after all these questions I've asked, I haven't even...
Well, I came in this evening thinking that I was going to have an opportunity to really articulate my experience, which has been quite manifold.
Okay.
And, you know, but with the remaining amount of time, it's not really possible
really?
In the context to really express my points of view on it. But to say that, you know, maybe at some time I could, and
yeah.
I'd like to say to the listeners that for me, spending that time there, and I've known the tribes for 4 years, that I really believe that there's fundamental problems, that the idea that there's a non-violence, that my experience is that there is a subtle kind of violence that does occur. That's what's said, but there's levels of what's being said and what's really going on, and it takes time to find out, and a lot of pressure does start to occur, a lot of demands, a lot of rules, and I think that there's spiritually a fundamental problem that should be discussed, and it should be an open debate But at this point, there's not enough time here to do it. So, but I would like to say that, that there's a lot more going on than meets the eye, and that's even been addressed so far in this interview.
Okay.
That much I'd like to say.
Like, Daryl, I'm sorry, isn't it? As a radio show host, I should have been more, like, trying to keep things even balanced, but I got carried away kind of there a bit.
Oh,
if you would come in at another time and talk of your experience, that would be only fair.
If you invite me in, I'll join you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good night. That was Daryl. Thank you for coming in. Oh man, my mind is just like noodle spaghetti. Cause not only that, there's other people who are like want to ask questions and want to like I'm being a transmitter for all the rumors too. Like, do you understand what I mean? Like all the questions and the whatever are filtered right into my brain, and then I have to do the questioning and try and figure out so that all those.
You should come and
questions
see.
Questions are answered. Yeah, I know.
See it's, for yourself, then you'll be able to answer firsthand.
Yeah, sure.
So
Daryl came to see firsthand, and he spent 2 weeks, and he didn't want to stay any longer. And you know, he makes the claim that he went deep in 2 weeks, but really, he left because he didn't want to go deep.
Okay. Well, we can talk about. He can talk about his experience. And,
yeah,
but
you should.
You guys,
you'll hear what he has to say. But then it's still going to come down to you're going to have to look and see for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So people are invited to come and see for themselves.
Drop by anytime.
But it's not a free youth hostel. No, I'm kidding. But like, you know what I mean. It's not.
No, if you're sincere and you want to know,
come.
We welcome you with open arms.
Because I know on some farms, generally, like farms I've worked on, they're like, you can come and visit and say hi and ask lots of questions, but you have to do a little bit of work. Is that kind of how things work there? No. Because I know where farms I've been, they're like, we'd love to talk to you all day, but we do have to do some work. So if you'd help us do the work, then we'll show you around the farm and talk
so
about all the infrastructure.
If you just came and just did nothing but just sit there.
I
was so bored. I wanted to do something. And the first full day that I spent there, you know, people made time to talk to me. Even though they had things to do, they made time to talk to me. Mm-hmm. Any question, I could go up to anybody at any time and be like, well, what about this? I heard this rumor, you know? Clarify this. Why do you do this? Hey, what's up with that? Like, anything,
right.
You know? People will stop and give you the attention that you need to answer your questions, and if they can't answer, they'll refer you to somebody else, and there's time for it, for sure.
Mm-hmm. It's the best way to find out.
Yeah, for instance, like my mother just stayed with us. She was at the farm.
She came up.
Sweet. I just dropped her off at the Greyhound yesterday morning to go back to Calgary. And she stayed with us, you know, from Monday through Friday, dropping her off to go back home on Saturday. And, you know, and we were totally accommodating to her, all her needs, you know. And, you know, she did actually help out work.
Sweet.
Which was really nice to see because it was not expected of her at all, as it's not expected with anyone who comes to, you know, see what our life is about, you know. So
I talked to your parents. That was the beauty thing. I talked to your dad and talked to him, and they were just like, you know what I mean? They weren't like, I got all these panic calls. Like, did you hear about Jay? He's got that. And I'm like, oh man, well, I'll just call his parents. And they're like, oh, he's doing fine. He knows what's going on. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, okay, good. You know, like parents know, right?
Yeah,
like,
and then from those calls, you know, my mom just dropped everything. She had to come see for herself because she, you know, she was saying what she was saying to people on the phone. And then she had to come out and see for herself. And so she came out to see for herself.
Yeah.
You know, and now she's going to go back home and
be able to
say with a true heart what she was already saying, and thus she'll be able to say even more.
Yeah.
Because she, you know, genuinely had a really good time. She quite accepted the community and quite sank back, you know, right into it like an easy chair.
Yeah. Now, I just have to ask you one question here. Do you guys have, like, a, like, stereo system there? Like, do you get to listen to all kinds of music?
We are so busy, and we listen to great music, you know, multiple times a day.
But do you, in your heart of hearts, think you can go on with klezmer music?
With what?
Oh. Klezmer. Huh? Can you live with klezmer for the rest of your time on this earth?
There's a lot of different kind of music.
I'm kidding.
That we play.
But, it's
gonna try that. What is it? Klezmer?
Klezmer. No, no. I'm just saying.
We never done that style yet, but
yeah, you did. Because we had Shambhala there. We were lying in our tent. And we're like, or no, we were over at the at our booth, and it was the klezmer, clarinet, and guitar.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And every synapse had been fired, and like I was in my gitch, and it's just like, no, klezmer music. It was too much. But anyway,
every synapse except the klezmer synapse.
Yeah, that one was tortured. But
we listened to other kinds of music for sure in the cafe. There, I remember being in there. I had that question myself, and one day I was in the cafe, and they were playing something not from the community, and we don't really. We're busy. So busy. And we play music together a couple times a day, actually. Every morning when we get up, we gather and we play music and then we talk and speak our heart. And in the evening, we do the same thing.
Sweet.
So
that's
we have music
says.
All the time.
Nice.
And dancing.
Mm-hmm, yeah, we sing songs of praise and songs of thanks, you know.
Yeah.
All, you know, throughout the day. It's a good way to be. It's a good music to listen to, you know. If you know, music is such a high expression, especially the voice within music. It's such a powerful, high spiritual expression of human being, you know. So to align with the music that you're singing, that you're listening to you know, make that a way of praise and thanks. It's a very spiritual thing. It connects you in a very deep way, you know, when you're doing that every single day.
Even before I was in the community, I listened to my favorite music was reggae, specific kinds of reggae, because it felt like gospel. And when I was singing, it was always about love and unity and God, and that's what made me happy, is dancing and singing and feeling like I was dancing with that in my heart, with the hope of achieving something greater than what I had.
Yeah, I mean, like even the shamans down in the jungle, they all have songs. Like all healing has songs.
Yeah, they have their Ikaros. Yeah. They sing their healing Ikaros, right? And,
yeah.
And you know, the other tribe, like say the tribes down there, the whole tribes have songs that they have dances that go along with their songs. They all sing the songs. They all do the dances. This is seen all over the world.
Yeah.
It's exactly what we do.
Yeah.
You know.
Totally.
There was a number of calls. What were the other questions? Because you only asked us one.
The other one was, it was too esoteric to put into a question. Like, it was an analogy. It was maybe it was a good one, maybe it wasn't. I don't know. For me to formulate it into a question, it's too, you know, a man may make a kite out of his pants. Okay, here we go. We'll put this caller on. Caller, you're on air.
What about free will?
Free will?
Free will to be an individual.
Okay.
And love all music.
Okay. We'll put that to the panel here.
Love.
We definitely love. And I mean, free will to love all music. You know, we love the music that we love. No one's telling us that we can't listen to a certain type of music. We just choose to love the music that we listen to. You know, no one's telling me to burn my records, throw away my CDs. You know, we can do what we please. We choose to do. We have free will, and our free will is to listen and sing the music that we sing, listen to the music we listen to. That is our free will.
Kind of like when you wake up in the morning and you wake up to your radio alarm clock and you have that song stuck in your head all day, and you know, you're chopping vegetables in the kitchen and you're singing it. It's like that. We get together in the morning and we sing a song, and it's not like it's planned, you know. Somebody, it just comes to their heart, and so we sing it. And that, you know, sometimes that gets stuck in my head all day, or it's the one from the night before. So because I'm not going to the bar and wasting my time, what I personally feel would be wasting my time, the songs that are in my heart are different than they used to be. And so I have the free will to listen to whatever I want. The stuff that's on my heart to sing is the stuff that is praising, you know, and makes me feel good when I sing it. And about individuality, I'm such an individual. Come down to the farm and see that
everybody there is
completely different, and we have some serious characters, and I'm still the same person that I always was. You know, I'm just doing a different thing with my life. I'm giving more of myself.
You guys get day of rest, right?
For sure.
Like the Sabbath?
Yeah.
Yes.
What is it called? It's called Sabbath.
Shabbat.
And that's on Saturdays?
From Friday night to Saturday night.
And you don't have to do any work, right?
Well, I mean, so we wash the dishes you have to,
yeah.
stuff.
I mean,
I still wake up in the morning and I feed the chickens because you don't want the chickens to starve, you know?
Yeah.
We do the cooking on Thursday and Friday during the day so that we can just relax and
just chill,
hang out with each other and spend time.
Because that was one thing, like, at Shambhala with the whole kitchen thing, I couldn't believe that you guys were actually serving food on a Saturday. It kind of blew my mind because I was like, these guys are devout, but whoa. It's Saturday. Like, I really thought you guys would shut it down and be like, we don't need to open. But you guys were open. So how do you get around, like, how do you get around that? Like, you have a doctrine that is non-compromising, but for a music festival, we'll bend the rules.
Well, events like that are on the Sabbath, if we have faith to go there, to find somebody who's fed up and wants a new life, and it's worth it. It's worth it to go there and to sacrifice our Sabbath. And even going to a festival like that is a big consideration for us because it's not our choice of scene, but we love the people, and so we go there to be able to take care of those people and reach out to them. And you know, we did Grateful Dead tour for 12 years as well, and we're not deadheads, but there's hundreds of people in our communities that were part of the original family of the deadheads that wanted more than just following the dead around, and so now they've become the foundation of many communities in the eastern U.S. And so many people gave up Sabbaths in order to find those people who were suffering and hurting and weren't fulfilled with what they were doing. So that's the motive behind going out there and working through the Sabbath.
Yeah, it was puzzling to me. And, but man, you guys do make good food, I gotta admit. Like, it's good.
That's so, what love tastes like.
Yeah. Okay, what other. I think that. Oh, God, here we go again. Caller number 5, how are you? You're on the air, so don't say anything too foolish.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Do you have a question?
Yeah.
Okay, shoot. Well, don't shoot. Say it nicely. You're on air.
I'm on air already. Wow, that was really quick. I have a question, yeah.
Okay.
So, Jay. Oh, I'm sorry. Aviva?
Yes.
And what was your new name?
It's Hetz.
Het, are you guys going to come to Shambhala and serve mate and rap?
Sure.
This year?
If that's where the need is, I mean, I might be needed at home, but...
Yeah, we're still in the process of talking about whether we're going to do Shambhala this year. I mean, it's a good possibility. And if we do end up at Shambhala this year, you know, serving our food and whatnot, me and Aviva will surely be there.
You better buy him one.
All right.
And we'll see you there.
And when, like... Lauren's dropping the big bombs on main stage. Are you guys going to be like tapping your feet there? Is it going to affect you, or are you going to be
probably.
Like so just singing the songs of praise in your head from
be
the morning before? Or are you going to be like, you know, shaking it a bit while you're making mate? And
I usually shake my head at Shambhala, actually. Going to Shambhala was always kind of lame. I went to Shambhala for the one or two acts, but just really for the people, and the music is secondary, and the noise from the however many stages there are now is intense, and being right there in the center of how many stages is going to be crazy, and I'll be tapping my head, but not in a nodding way.
Not nodding.
That's not my sound. That was never my sound. My sound was always music of praise. My sound was always reggae and stuff that felt like I was praising God when I was singing and dancing to it.
Yeah, and I'd have to say I spent a couple of days working at the cafe, you know, last week. And as busy as it gets there on a Friday, I can imagine Shambhala going to be running around so fast, chopping peppers, wrapping wraps, you know, going back and forth. I probably won't even realize there's music going on. I think in a state like that, when you're that busy, you just kind of give up everything to the flow, and you don't even really remember where you are.
But you become sort of omnipotent to the flow too at the same time, and you're like, you hear the music. It's there. I mean,
maybe true enough. I can't say I've never been there. So you might be right.
It'll be his first time making rap. So
right on.
No, wait a second. But wasn't that one year you did make Mate that one year?
Yes, I did.
With that was good.
Yeah.
That's
well,
what
this,
we.
This is great. Yeah. Well. All right.
Okay.
That was my only question. I was just curious because we were talking about the music, and that was, and I just thought, okay, this is something that I could talk about because you said, you know, don't shoot too hard, and I was like, okay, I'll see if I can try something easy this first time out, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. Sweet.
It's nice right. hearing from you.
Blessings to you, folks.
Have blessings. Okay. Holy. We hit the lunchtime of the night, folks, and I'm just like, I've drank enough mate. Oh, God. Okay, this is absolutely the last one. Caller, you're on air, so please be respectful.
So much respect and blessings for the courage, Jay. Or, sorry, I don't remember the new names, but lots of respect, you know. But at the same time, the concern is the us and them. The concern is the desire for 12 tribes being present to save lost souls, but not to go to places that are of strong community backgrounds, like, say, Coots Roots Culture Fest. Why don't they come there? Why don't they go to a place where it's where we're strong and we're together and you have your truth and we have our truth and we stand together in the unity?
All right. Are you inviting us to vend at Coots Roots there?
Well, I've talked with Nadeev a bit about it, and he said that we weren't building New Jerusalem, and that kind of hurt my feelings a little bit. And that's just words, but I've gotten over it. But I wonder why you don't, take the time to go where the people are strong and not go because there might be some lost souls.
I would say that too myself because I felt the love vibe at Coots Roots last summer
so
powerful that Shambhala paled in comparison.
Weren't we just talking
with
about
the love?
Prince Traps was invited last year to be at Coots Roots.
The love vibe
at
Coots Roots.
I was at Shambhala talking with Nadeev. He told me I was not building New Jerusalem. This hurt me. I felt as though it may not always be seen who are the strong that are trying to preserve the strong, but we are in fact building New Jerusalem, whether you like to admit it or not. In our heart of hearts, we have one connection and only one connection to the Most High Jah. So
it was like, honestly, I'm not going to lie, and I praised that concert, but Coots Roots last year hit a heart chakra level that it surpassed all previous concerts for me. Like, there was kids, and there was beautiful people, and there was music, and there was love. Like, you would not believe. Like, it was.
We were there. We loved it, too. I mean, we just finished saying that. The last caller said something about,
even,
you know, the music at Shambhala, and we said,
Etienne, can I answer your question?
He's going to address your question, Etienne, so just one sec.
Sure.
I'm going to quote, the words of Yahshua himself. And what he said is, he said, I didn't come for those who are well. I came for those who had need of a physician. And so we go to the places where people are the most desperate and the most messed up.
Well,
that's not to say we would never come to Coots Roots, but we go where we see the greatest need is and where the greatest number of lost souls potentially will be. But we want to go everywhere.
The need is the small people that are trying to create unity. Is we need all of the people to come together in unity. Not because there's someone that needs to be helped, but the strong people need to get together to create that unity in factual, with all the diversity. Oh. Not just one way or this way, or, you know, we respect every faith. We're all, you know what I'm trying to say, right?
Well, I know what you're trying to say, but we think differently than you, and I'd be happy to talk with you more if you want to get together at the cafe sometime or come by the farm.
The real question is just, why the us and them? Why is there a division? there feels as though there's a division. And well, when you told me that there's that I'm not building New Jerusalem, that's harsh.
Where there's love, there is no division. And so we live in a place where there's no division, and we invite others who want to come out of division into where there's no division. And so you have to start somewhere, and we're starting where we've been planted in the land. And
well, no
disrespect. That's the best we know how to do.
No disrespect. I love what you guys do, and it's cool. There are some concerns for sure. I hope that the concerns can be heard, and lots of many thanks and praises, you know, to you guys for the courage of coming onto the show. You know, respect, Dustin.